Apostle Fermi Lazarus is a man raised by God to demonstrate his wisdom and authority to the Last Day Church. He is the lead pastor of Sphere of Light Church, and God told him years ago that a time will come where my wisdom will be needed to navigate tough times in the body of Christ. Then I will cause your voice to be heard, and all who pay attention to my word on your lips will not lack light and direction. He is a man sent from God, sent to raise God's end time armies. With Apostle Fermi Lazarus, every minute counts as you listen attentively.
Thank you, Father. All right, can we lift our hands and give God praise this morning? Come on, go ahead, you have a moment. In Christ the solid rock I stand. Father, we'll give you praise this morning because we know that you are here amongst us. I ask, O Lord, that your word will bring revival in our spirit. I didn't hear that amen loud enough. There is freedom. There is help for someone. In the name of Jesus, we ask that this will be the right word needed for the next phase of your children's life. I ask that you sanctify these lips of clay and let everything that proceed be your thoughts accurately divided. We give you praise, dear Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Let's turn our Bibles quickly to the book of Mark, chapter number 16. Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15. Mark, chapter number 16, verse 15. All right. If you are there, say amen. If you are checking for Mark in the Old Testament, you are lost. You need discipleship. Amen. Now, Mark 16, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now, if you understand this scripture, verse 17 is a function of verse 15 and 16. Amen. Now, the word in verse 17, we've said that every now and then, that this sign shall follow them that believe. Now, who is in the category of them that believe? Those who have accepted the light of the gospel. Amen. I said amen. Those who have accepted the light of what? The gospel. So it means that if you get saved today, you have been empowered to trample upon snakes and scorpions. Now listen to this. You don't need stature to trample on the devil. You need Jesus. Now I'm going to hurt religion a bit. Somehow it appears that we have found a way to make it look like the power of God is with some localized few. And we are creating heroes out of men. Do you understand what I'm saying? All the testimonies of healings you may hear, It will happen if any believer dares to pray for the sick. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Say it after me. Any believer can cast out devils. And someone say, but the disciples couldn't. I'm going to get there. Let me give you an instance. I went somewhere. I used to have one-on-one sessions with people. And occasionally I take a few people with me for practicals. You know, just follow me to the field and see the practical. You get what I'm saying? Uh-huh. So there was a case of a woman that was possessed with devils. Violently possessed. And I got to her house. She became aggressive. And meanwhile, she was not manifesting anything. Just normal. In fact, she called me that morning and requested that I should please come. So as I shook hands with her that morning, she began to scream. And the power of God came upon her and was turning everywhere upside down. Went to pick bottles. I was going to break the bottle on a newborn baby's head. That was how violent she became. So I sat down and I told the two of my boys that went with me. I said, cast out that devil. So I sat down and I requested for a bottle of Coke. So we're doing, you know, it was like I was watching actual film. They would do drama around the house. That's it. Ah, you will go. Ah, I said you will go. I'll sip my Coke. Sometimes you will run towards me. Laugh. I read of demons that serve some pastors. If you believe they can slap you, they will slap you. They say, the man of God is powerless. He's not necessarily powerless. He may just be ignorant. Once you are ignorant of the power you have in Christ, you are as good as powerless. Meanwhile, the power is there, but we are not using it. Do you understand what I'm saying? Authority is authority any day, any time. Let me explain. Hold on. Don't write yet. Let me tell you what that means. Of course, I believe everyone here went through secondary school. If you go to your principal's office to lay a complaint, and when you get there, your principal is sleeping. Do you go and draw your principal's beard and say, now that he's sleeping, yeah, man, look at him. Do you do that? Even in that sleeping state, is a man of authority. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm going to show you where we have gotten it all wrong. And we so desperately need teachers to reconfigure our theologies. Now get what I'm saying. So the woman was doing all that. They were there. I finished my Coke. I got bored. I got tired. I felt like lying down while, and nothing seemed to be happening. And these are men who are spirit-filled, tongue-speaking, Holy Ghost-saturated. So I called the woman's daughter, as at then she was about 17, 16. So I called her. She was just crying. She said, I don't know what's happening to my mommy. I said, don't worry, your mommy will be fine. So I said, look at your mommy in the eyes and tell that spirit to get out. And the girl was just crying. And she stood there in a naive state. And she just stretched her hands. I was crying. I command you, in the name of Jesus, get out of my mommy. And the spirit screamed and the spirit left once. Why couldn't the first cast out the spirit? Though they are ministers. If you say they were powerless, after all, this girl did not, do you know what I'm saying? She has not built any momentum. Do you understand what I'm saying? This was just a normal girl, a normal teenager. I've gotten her born again a year before. So let me give you another instance. In the year 2020, precisely, 2012. How many years ago is that? 11 years. I got a call. Pastor, wherever you are, please come to our hostel now. There's fire on the mountain. what's happening? I got there. One girl was just holding knife. I will burn you. And everybody were running. Guess what's there? Locking the door. With knives. Manifesting violently. So as I got there, they were able to disarm her. Praise God. If you're going to cast out devils and a demon possesses holding a knife, take away the knife. Take away the knife. Then exercise authority, wisdom, authority. So don't have to bandage your head. You understand what I'm saying? So, this was a very painful case. Because by the time I got to that place, already on ground, at least 9 pastors were on ground. In fact, I did not come alone. I came with a senior minister. And the moment they said, I said, this is what is happening, and they have called him too. Because I couldn't go without his permission. He said, let's get anointing oil. You don't need anointing oils to cast out devils. What you need is the name of Jesus. If care is not taken, we have entered into idolization of artifacts. I bless God that I can pray over an handkerchief and it becomes loaded with power. But you are more useful and more powerful than the handkerchief. Do you understand what I'm saying? If a man of God lays hand on an handkerchief and says, take it, heal the sick with it. How can something that is inanimate generate? Why don't you say, lay the hands on me? Let me be the mobile power. And every time you have to look for handkerchief, the same way an herbalist will look for Bante, you know that spiritual belt, they wipe you. Amen. I've been in very troublesome situations a few times. And not really a few, a couple of times. But I've been trusting God for the day somebody will get angry and wipe me with that thing. I say, this is my Bante. You are the one that will fall. I can tell you stories. Do you understand what I'm saying? So, a pastor, a young minister came. They will pour anointing oil inside this girl's mouth. Oh, pour oil. She will pour everybody's face. Hey. And I get easily irritated. So, I couldn't get those, many of those stuff. One man came. Then came and said, now, leave her. Leave her. Leave her now. I command you. Get out. Before my very eyes, dirty slap. The man of God returned his own. Dirty slap. Then, I got to eat again. I command those hands to wither, the hands that have slapped you. Do you understand what I'm saying? That, I'm telling you a very true story. We were there from around past 9 till past 12. The demon was he saying, I will burn you. I will burn you. Then I discovered that all the ministers started leaving one by one. All. Imagine the hostel situation where we have both Muslims and Christians. And they were all watching. So they can't cast out this demon. So they can't cast out this. And finally it was the person I came with that was the final person to leave. I said, look in one room, look in one room. The power of God has been released, you know. She's going to be free overnight. A very intelligent way to escape. And as we're about to go, the Lord spoke to me at the gate and said, why didn't you lay hands on the girl? Why didn't you pray? I said, I came with very more senior people, so there's nothing. He said, have you prayed? And I did not answer. So I said, I'm sorry, Lord. So I went back And by this time, the girl was already locked in one room alone, and she was still holding a knife. So I picked a reading chair and put it in front of her and sat down. And I asked her, "What's your name, young lady?" She looked at me, said, "My name is Queen of the Coast." "Queen of the Coast? What are you doing here?" I said, "I don't know." "Queen of the Coast, are you ready to go out?" "Say, by whose authority?" I said, "By Jesus' authority." Said, "I will go." It was a simple conversation. "Now, in the name of Jesus, get out of this body." That was it. Simple conversation, fell down, rolled, and began to ask, "Where am I? What's happening to me? Ah, who is this? Where am I?" Free. Why don't many believers succeed? The way they shout is a proof they don't know the authority they have. "Listen to me. You can stand before a demon possessed and in the name of Jesus." I say, "We are hearing you shout. It looks like you are a man who knows authority. But you might be shouting from fear. It can be baseless." Many believers are defeated before even. They just say, "I rebuke." You know, you say, "Sons of Scepters." Why? They say, "I cast you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preached." Whom? Do you understand what I'm saying? You don't cast out demon in the name of the God of Apostle Femi Lazarus. As you've been funny. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get out!" And that's it. And anywhere you see demons, you cast them out. Because the same authority that Jesus has been given to you. Matthew 28 verse 18 said, "All power has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Verse 19, "Go ye therefore into all nations." Say loud and clear, "I have all power." Say it again emphatically, "I have all power." Say it again, "I have been empowered to cast out devils." Come on, say it again, "I have been empowered." Say it again, "I have been empowered." Now, sometimes we have raised people that we have talked power out of their growth. Talked power. You cannot do the gospel thing without power. Let me give you an instance. I was ministering in a crusade in Owo. 2016. So I was ministering. Was interpreting in Igbira. Now, I've never heard Igbira in my life. So, after the meeting, we had a stand where people come get drugs and all that. And there was a young man that came that had, if I can remember correctly, it's either gonorrhea or something. We're going to administer a drug to him, but that strong antibiotics had finished. He's been struggling to urinate for a while. Now, the boy is the son of the chief imam of that place. So I said to him, "What would I prescribe to you as finished? Okay? But you don't have to go through that route. I can get you healed right now." I said, "He won't." "It doesn't mind." I said, "Have you given your life to Christ?" He said, "No." Then I sat him down, talked to him about Jesus. Got him baptized in the Holy Ghost right there and then. Got him saved. Laid hands on him and commanded that spirit behind the infirmity to get out. Every sickness has their root spiritually. And sometimes you try to struggle with healing because you are not addressing the root. Are you following what I'm saying? So I commanded the spirit, "Get out of him now and be made free." All right. The boy went to ease himself. I said, "Go and check yourself out." And for the first time in months, he could do it properly. And he was screaming from there. "Yay! They don't heal me. They don't." That's how we got the boy born again. Got him healed right there. Are you following what I'm saying here? The boy went home. The father called him for prayers. He said he's now a Christian. The father got offended, came to the crusade ground the following day, because now he's angry and he said, I'm going to deal with this idiot that think he can come to this village and do all those things. So the man came. Now I was preaching and I had an interpreter. I did not understand what the interpreter, so even if he was wrong, I don't know. But, you know, sometimes just by the Spirit, just speak in tongue while preaching. Just by the Spirit, speak in tongues. You know, probably describing something, you get energized, you speak in tongues. But what I didn't realize was that I was speaking in Iberia. And the man was actually hearing me say, he came to tell us. Because after the crusade, after when we called out our call, he didn't come out. But when everyone else left, he came to lay down and was crying. And said, he didn't even know that we are from the same place. So I said, which place? He said, what? He said, you are speaking. He said, that's my language you are speaking. He said, Iberia. I said, me. He said, you told me that if I don't give my life to Christ tonight, I might die. Me. He said, you said it 3 times. I said, that's Jesus talking to you. And that's how the man came, gave his life to Christ, got baptized in the Holy Ghost right there and then. We need power to preach the gospel. The gospel is not a message that lacks evidence. We need what? Power. We need what? We need what? The same way we have come to Abuja for Spirit of Life Church, we are going to take this city by power. All of you seated here is a Sunday school class. Do you understand what I'm saying? Power. I went to minister at Nigerian Police Academy. I went to preach. God, those young police boys and girls born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. So many of them, I meet them in different places. I say, yes, I give my life to Christ under administration. This. When I was done ministering, I saw that there was systemic attack on Christians. We are going to deal with that shortly. I gave a word. God is going to invade your system. And power is going to change hands in 24 hours, before 24 hours. The moment after my session, I stepped out of the hall, was still greeting people, hey, how are you doing? How that? They made an announcement. They have changed the person in charge immediately. Those who did not give their life to Christ in the meeting came to give their life to Christ after the meeting. We need power. Do you understand what I'm saying? Tell your neighbor, we need power. Say it again loud and clear. Say it again loud and clear. How many people need power? All of us. All of us. All of us. All of us. I remember when I finished ministering in church years back, I told you I found myself in some really deep situations. And the cult group in that environment, I made a vow. You will not be established here. As long as I'm in this city. You can go and check. It's a track record. Anywhere I go to cult exists, a 7 days war, they will kill themselves. You are not going to pitch your tent here. Do anything. I'm going to share stories with you this morning. So as I was going, a bike parked. A boy came down from the bike. Dreadlock. Brought out a gun. Say, enter. Say, enter now. Climbed the bike. Sat behind me. Carried my Bible. Hey. What is happening? And then took me to one house. Very dark place. Came down. Say, enter. Say, if you shout, I'll blow your head. So I entered. Then I was seeing light of Igbo. You know, cigarette. Igbo. Marijuana. I don't know. I don't know where you're coming from. Like twinkle, twinkle, little star. It was scattered abroad. Then somebody on the torchlight in front of my face. And the guy said, ah, now this guy, say, leave him. This one passed our power. That was it. That was it. You need to see how I walked out of that place elegantly. Warn yourself. But now you know now that I passed. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your boss has spoken and he knows what he has seen. Praise God. Now, get what I'm saying. Majority of those cult guys that try to disturb our system, they are all pastors now. Pastors! Not just that God born again. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pastors! I remember the night that two of them entered my room. Two. Late at night, I was fasting. Dry fasting. I wanted to break. I was tired. Just came in. I was like, what have I done again? Bye. This wallah is too much. They stood there, a boy and a girl. And they went flat on their face. So we want to give our life to Jesus. They moved from being cult boys to being disciples. They are carrying my bag and Bible. Let's go. We're going to go evangelize. Yes. We need power. We need. Tell your neighbor we need. Tell your neighbor we need. We need what? Power! You will struggle. It will drag. Imagine you standing before someone to preach the gospel. And all of a sudden, God begins to, let me give you an instance. One day I received a call. This should be either 2019 or 2020. I can't remember. No, not 2020. Either 2019 or 2018. I received a call. And someone called me on the phone and was asking and said, please, I've heard about you. This, please, sir. Somebody gave me my number and gave me your number. I want to please pray for me. This is what I'm going through. And began to explain situations. But as I was listening to him, it was not connecting. I was feeling unrest in my spirit. What was he saying? Now it was sounding like he needed help. So I listened. I got tired of listening. And the Lord told me, ask him. Who is Mrs. So and so and so and so? So I asked him. I'm sorry, this doesn't align what you are saying. But who is Mrs. So and so and so and so? He froze. The Lord said, ask him again. So I asked, please, who is Mrs. So and so and so? He said, that's my, I think his uncle's wife or elder brother's wife. The Lord said, you are sleeping with her. He ended the call. So, what was happening? So I check. I went to investigate that contact through caller. Went to check. Then I found out. I said that he was calling me from a live program where they call ministers of God who are prophetic and mock them. That was where he was calling from, and that was where he was disgraced openly. That was the end of the show. It was closed down. Zeal without power will get your head off. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yeah! I feel zeal. You need power. God wants us to go to the ends of the world to preach the gospel, but we need to heal the sick. We need to cast out devils. You go to places that demons are plaguing. I went to pray for a young man 13 years ago. Went to pray for a young man. They said, please, this person is going to die if you don't come pray for him. And I went to that place and I saw the young man laying down. The size of his stomach was like he was 13 months pregnant. So big. You may call it ascites, but there's a procos. Is it liver cirrhosis? What is it? Well, it felt like liver issue because his eyes were yellow. I looked at him. You could see the hurt. You could feel the stench of demons. People are coming from strong places. I mean, I'm telling you practically that you can enter into the house of a strong man and plunder him. Do you understand what I'm saying? I said you can enter into the house of a strong man and plunder him and rescue the captives of the mighty. And I looked at him and held his hands. And I said to him, you are not dying. You are not going to die. You are not going to die. But the Lord opened my eyes. I saw a few things. I'm not about to share them. I laid hands on him. Now there's a level you get to that you know when you lay hands on someone who is sick, you have not prayed casually just like other pastors. You know. Please sit down. The same way your mom can tell you, go and wash that plate. And you, do you understand what I'm saying? When you hold sponge, you know it's not film trick. You are washing the plate. And you know the plate will be washed. It's the same way you can go and heal the sick. I am not coming to say God heal him. I have come to heal you. But sometimes this our humility has gotten us out of power. Do you understand what I'm saying? What did Jesus say? Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead. Who should do it? You. Who should do it? You. Say, Jesus, right now, come to this room. Oh, Jesus, come and heal him. Jesus said, I'm no longer healing the sick. I healed while I was here. Greater works, I said, you shall do. Now get him healed. You can walk miracles the same way people walk mathematics. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can hold a short leg and it will grow. You can hold a head that is bigger than the size and say, I command you to shrink. Because if I just speak now and his head starts shrinking. You can doubt it now, you'll see it before your very eyes. Jesus was so full of power that he had to say, Lazarus, come forth. Because if he said, come forth, all of them will come. No matter the years. All. All. Because now we have come to a point where we now believe certain dimensions are not possible. It's like we have left the realm of power. I'm telling you. Say loud and clear, I've been given power. Say it again. Come on, say it again. Come on, say it again. Now, look up. Do you know the day God rescued me from the mentality of powerlessness? That was when I entered rest. Was the day I was watching Dagwood Mills. Did. And the way he was preaching, I'm like, this thing is too simple. Who will give his life to Christ here now? This is not deep. When he called out her call, everywhere, packed. The power of the gospel is in its simplicity. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the power in its simplicity. That's where the power is at. See, listen, you don't have to sound like any man of God to be powerful. Come the way you are. Do you understand what I'm saying? Your voice, whether your voice sounds like a battery that is going low or your voice sounds baritone, it doesn't matter. Sound, the power is not in the texture. It is the anointing that makes the difference. Yeah. So when he was done doing all that, and he said, now I'm going to pray for the sick. See, after me, I'm healed. By stripes, I've been healed. Very simple, simple prayers. Then I saw crutches. I saw wheelchairs. I saw blind eyes open. I said, this thing is not in shouting. Do you understand what I'm saying? And listen to this. You will never increase in working of miracles if you don't start. You're not going to grow at it. You will not become better in the working of miracles until you start. Praise God. I said praise God. You will not. It begins from holding family members and say, I command you now, be healed. Go and do your test and all that. It begins from there. It begins from there. Amen? Amen. Are you following me now? We need the power of the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel. We need power. We need what? We need the power of the gospel. Anyone who preach the gospel must be power conscious. must be power conscious. Even those who are singing. Even those who are singing. I shared the story of a boy who had a target to sleep with 500 girls. I don't know how somebody will have such target. It takes demon. As if there's any trophy. The only trophy you get on that is to die. Just die anyhow, like crazy. You understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? I watched one Baba Ajasko years back. He went to the land where there are just women. He said he's going to enjoy himself. He went from being big to being tiny, then become a dwarf. We saw that Baba Ajasko that year. Years back. Indomie generation don't know all those things. But the boy, that was his own target. And that was what he was doing. See, and guess where he was going? He was going to churches. And was actually counting. He was marking his. Okay, so I've done this one, two. And was counting. So one day he was going to buy something somewhere. And he saw a beautiful girl was climbing bike. So he said, he stopped the bike. He said, where should they go? Follow her. He didn't know the girl from Adam. He just said, where should they go? Follow her. Then the girl came to church. He too came to church. Then he sat down. I just remember a case right now. He sat down there. Praise God. Okay. He sat down in church. And was, as the girl was singing, he sat down there, was looking at her, was licking his lips. Was looking at her. But he didn't know that the girl's singing was saturated. The same girl. While she was singing, the power of God eat the playboy. Power! He fell on the ground. Was shaking like leaves. Oh, Jesus, I'm sorry. Jesus, I'm sorry. I will love you. Yeah, Jesus. What's happening? So it was when we began to counsel him that we found out why he came. So the same girl. Somebody say same girl. Same girl. But carrying fire. Not just fine, but fiatic. You see? Don't be so low that the only thing you have is makeup. No. Have fire. How you follow what I'm saying? Fiatic. And that's how we got the boy baptized in the Holy Ghost. Afterwards, even received it right there and then. His case was like the case of Paul. That got baptized, saying, who are you, Lord? I'm sorry, I will serve you. And this boy stayed with me for 3 weeks. Taught him God's word back to back, regimented him, gave him good money, Holy Spirit, gave him different books. Sit down, eat, drink, eat these books, eat the word. After that time, he went back home. His father is a pilot. They've never called the name of Jesus ever in their house. And they are not Muslims. They don't even identify anywhere. Nobody goes to church. Nobody sends anybody. Just live their normal life. And he called the younger sister and the mom and said, do you know we can have devotion in this house? He said, yes. He said, let's even. So they were singing normal songs. Normal songs. Give you a normal song. Huh? All those assembly songs. Good morning, Jesus. How powerful is that song? It doesn't sound powerful. True or not true? That was a normal song they were singing. Then while that was going on, the younger sister, while she was singing and all that, mistakenly, her body touched him. What she did not realize is that that's not the same normal boy. As the body touched him, she fell under power. And began to scream and be praying in the Holy Ghost. The mother was like, what's this? What's happening? She went to touch the girl. Fire came upon the both of them. Screaming in tongues. The father stormed out of the room with anger. In my house! In my house! What is this? Get up now! Carry the mother to get up. As he carried her, fire came upon the man also. He got everyone fireized. Baptized in the Holy Ghost. In one morning devotion. Who do we trace it to? The fine girl carrying power he wanted to sleep with. You will not know the kingdom harvest you are losing if you fail to carry power. Do you understand what I'm saying? We need power to push the course of the gospel. We need power. to push the cause of the gospel. Tell your neighbor we need power. Tell your neighbor we need power. Tell your neighbor, do you have power? Ask your neighbor, do you have power? You don't look like someone that has power, but I want to ask you, do you have power? Hey, are you following me now? Are you following me? Real power. I mean, I can share stories from today till midnight of the simplicity of the gospel and God intervening in human situations. Are you following what I'm saying here? You cannot effectively propagate the gospel if you are not sharp. You've got to be sharp. Hey, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You've got to be what? Sharp. Are there believers that enters into the camp of the devil and they get feedback? I mean, demons launch them back. Yes. When you keep functioning with dull cutlass, sooner or later you will have yourself to be blamed. It is not that the power is not available, but you have in that the manifestation. And once you keep living like that, there's nothing anybody can do to help you. You need power. Tell your neighbor again, you need power. Say it loud and clear, loud and clear, loud and clear. Say it again, loud and clear. I went to minister in a meeting. And the Lord spoke to me and said, there are three witches here. No, two. It was a vigil. Lord said, one of you have been looking for a way out. Come out now. Do you know you can call witches out just normal, like normal attack call? I've done it on campuses. I've seen it happen. You see, I'm not saying that you are seeing yourself in a dream. You know you are a witch. You are flying. Say yes. And the first woman came out. Laid hands on her. Cast out the spirit. That's it. Laid hands on her. Cast out the spirit. That's it. Said the second person, since you don't want to come out and be free, wherever you are, let the fire of God come upon you. She happened to be the woman that was in charge of the welfare, the cook, for my host. Now, I'm not saying the man of God does not have fire, but that was what the case was. Commanded that spirit within her to get out by the fire of the Holy Ghost. Meanwhile, please get what I'm saying. That is not doctrinally correct. You command demons to get out in the name of Jesus. You don't cast out demons by Holy Ghost fire. In fact, scripturally, there's nothing like Holy Ghost fire. You cast out demons in the name of Jesus. You have three powerful weapons of authority. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. All right. The name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and his word. The powerful tools. I went to minister somewhere. I have about three boys in the meeting. It was a very small meeting. Sometimes from terrible places, things happen in small places. And the Lord said there are two boys here. Three boys were in that meeting, plus myself, four. You get what I'm saying? And the Lord said there are two here that is gay. Now, I'm not gay. This is the proof. You know what I'm saying? I'm not gay. So I said, there are two of you here, you are gay and you are gay lovers. The Lord said he wants to deliver you now. Come out. So me, I'm not. So it's either of the three of you here. And they were all looking suited with tie. Who can it be? I just closed my eyes. Nobody came out. So I said, the hand of God is going to come upon you now if you don't come out. Something will hit you in a very serious way. Now I don't have time to go into the theology of what happens when I will speak like that. We're actually engaging ministry of angels. And they have different duty. Do you understand what I'm saying? Something is going to hit you now. We're going to count 1 to 10 before I finish counting. If you don't step out here, you'll be judged right now. Of course, they got delivered. They got what? Delivered. However, It was with broken head, with all those. It was like something pushed. And that's how they got saved. Got rescued from that habit. How will a boy just wake up and believe you are a gay? I mean, could make sense now. It takes demons now. True or not true? Your son that you gave the name John. You said to him, Daddy, I'm Justina. And every time you see him, every time, he'll go and pick his sister's lipstick and eyebrow. Every time. He say, he's just playing. They should flog you with cord. Alright, more cord. What kind of playing is that? Say me too, I'm going to flog you plainly. In the name of Jesus. Now I believe that there are dimensions God have blessed Africa with that works best. You can't just wake up and say you identify as a tree. But you are eating rice. I mean, people are now saying they identify as handicap. Yes. He said, that's what makes me feel happy. One says she identifies as a dog. Went to buy one big dog costume. We always lie down there. They will put chain on her neck and then drag her in the house and all that. Drag her to the food, will be latching on the food with tongue. If that's not demon, what is it? Our African mothers are blessed with the first stage of removing that kind of demon. First stage one. Wow! Who are you? Say, I'm not a dog, man. My name is... Do you understand what I'm saying? Me that gave birth to you, let me close the door. Stage one. Once you are fine, your eyes have cleared, we'll now begin to show you Bible. Those who are raising children outside the country needs to really take, watch it. Do you understand what I'm saying? But the long story, alright, the short of this long story is that we need what? Power. We need power. Now, let me say this to you. And I've seen this happen before, and I believe it can still happen. You can practically pray that the glory of God comes upon someone who is a chain smoker, and they will not be able to smoke again. The grip of that sin has been destroyed. Most times we don't engage God in those things. Say it loud and clear, we need power. Say it again loud and clear, we need power. Say it again loud and clear, we need power. Never trivialize, alright, the power that is required to preach the gospel. Never trivialize it. We need power. Sometimes you get to places and it looks like the devil is having his field day. You check him out. Get out of this place. Get out of this body. Get out of this land. You can check the devil out over a territory. You can check his activity over a family. You can check his activity over individuals. You can check him out. Anywhere you see him, send him out. Resist him, he will flee. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You can always rebuke the devil a billion times over. Always. He has costumes. You have the power. You have the power. And you must believe it. Walk in it. Demonstrate it. Manifest it. Let it sweat your belly. Each time you manifest power. Each time you what? Manifest power. Each time you let it sweat you. Let me share another story. This one happened in my neighborhood. This boy is the son of a major Afar. Got to campus. Gave his life to Christ. Got baptized in the Holy Ghost, became powerful and fireful. The parents started troubling him, rose assault, even threat to his life, that they will kill him if he does not renounce Jesus. They stopped sending him money for feeding. It was fellowship people that would contribute for him. They were blackmailing him, his father. And after a while, the boy got discouraged, withdrew from fellowship, withdrew from everybody, and went back to Islam. Few months later after, then he got sick and died. Now they asked, now the story did not come out until after a while, about 2 years after, the father gave his life to Christ. And someone asked him, that, but your son was also a Christian. And you were the one who pressured him and made him return. Now that you have received Jesus, what do you have to say to that? He said, if this same Jesus that I've received is what my son received, nobody should turn back from this. But who had died? The son. Who had died? The son. So it is a very, very urgent task to preach the gospel. It is a very, very urgent task. There's somebody somewhere whose lives may not be restored if you don't preach to that person. All right? The devil in his plot is moving at a very fast pace to wreak havoc and destroy humanity completely. There is a need to infiltrate those systems, get into everywhere, into every family, into every place with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get men saved, and not just saved, discipled. We need to get men saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and discipled. If you fail to win that next soul, if the person dies, the blood will be required from your neck. Every unbeliever that encounters you is God giving them opportunity to be saved. Can I come again? Every unbeliever that encounters you is God giving them opportunity to be what? Saved. Every unbeliever is God giving them opportunity to be saved. But how many of us are really seeing it, that this is God trusting me? That your unbeliever friend, unbelieving friend, that every time he comes, I'm always talking about girls. If you don't get that guy saved, one day you fall into that trap. You will discover you have gone too far for repair. Get them saved now. You are inside a boat. Talk to him about Jesus. Ask questions. Are you born again Christian? Have you met Jesus? I love that song. Have you been to Jesus with the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? There was a generation that was the songs they were singing. Until we brought what we brought. So we need to get men saved with every opportunity we have. Every time we have prophetic prayer contact, my most exciting moment is that moment where we have the altar call. I practically dream about that moment every night. That somebody will come to hear about Jesus again. Now, how do I participate in the Great Commission? How do I participate? How do I do my part? Yes, I've heard that we need power. I've heard that it's so urgent. But how do I do my part? Number one, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Preaching the gospel is not just for pastors. Tell your neighbor, preach that gospel to your neighbor. Preaching the gospel is not just for pastors. Say it again, preaching the gospel is not just for pastors. Now, when we say preach the gospel, let me quickly run you to a discipleship class. What message is the message? What is the content of the gospel? Like I said, while tomorrow may be too late, indeed, tomorrow may be too late is not the gospel. You understand what I'm saying? I saw someone preaching online. Sometimes we have moved into extremes. And then say, you dey wear trouser, thunder go damage you. I don't understand that he said it, alright? I don't know. Alright, but he said thunder. See, you are not threatening people. It is the love of Christ that converts people. You are not threatening people. It's not a threat. See, let me say this to you. I don't know how much or how deep you had gone in the world before Jesus saved you. There are people who know they are going to hell and they have settled in their mind that they will go to hell. In fact, some will say, let me just make these billions for like 5 years. I'm ready. Any demon come and carry me. Jesus. So you cannot come to threaten someone who is not even afraid. And even if a fellow is afraid, threat is not the way to get men saved. So what is the content? of the message of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. Quickly. If you want to preach to someone, what should I preach? 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. Now look at it. Moreover, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15 from verse 1. I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are what? Are ye saved. So it is by this gospel that you are saved. So it is by this gospel that men are saved. Are you following now? If you keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. Now, this is, say, I've received the gospel. Now I'm giving you this same gospel. What is the gospel? How that Christ died for our sins according to scriptures. That's the gospel. That's how we start. He died for our sins according to scriptures. Verse 4 now. And that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas, then the 12. After that he was seen, this, and they talk about the proof of his resurrection now. Now, so, the gospel is the message of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And then, understanding the intricate purpose of the death, burial, and resurrection, which is to save our souls. That's the message. Why is it important to let the fellow know that Christ died? So they can know that the price has been paid. The price has been paid. Alright? And why should they know? They need to understand that all that you have done in time past that you should have suffered for, somebody has paid for it. Embrace him today. Tell your neighbor, Christ died for you. Jesus did not faint, he died. Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus did not what? He didn't faint on the cross. He what? He died. In John 19:30, after he received the vinegar, he yielded up the ghost and said, it is finished. He died. In fact, his death took 3 days, of course, prophetically, like Jonah spent 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the fish. That's just prophetically. But actually, it had to happen because of the custom of the Jews. They don't believe that the spirit is separated from the soul until after 3 days. So he died to meet up with their speculations that even if they want to come tomorrow and say Jesus did not die, he died. And on the third day, he rose. The resurrection of Jesus was not that you were seeing a ghost. No. They were seeing him. He rose up with a new body, the celestial body. A body we all have can be seen, can be felt, can be touched, can eat, and yet can pass through walls. I've seen him. I've seen Jesus as he is. So I'm not telling you something I heard. I'm telling you, I have seen him. And something broke in me. Said, what? He's the fairest to look upon. There's no description. Do you get what I'm saying? If love is a person, or if love is a well, looking into his eyes is looking into the wells of love. Do you get what I'm saying? Jesus did not faint, he what? Died. And he rose. He ate bread and fish. So some of you are, people, imagine the question people are asking. Okay, I know we are going to heaven. Please. I know we are going to heaven. But in heaven, are we going to eat? How are we going to eat in heaven? Heaven is not a boring place. And you don't need food to be entertained too. Do you know what I'm saying? But we are going to eat in heaven actually. Yes. We are going to eat in heaven. But there's no toilet in heaven because there's no waste. There's no residue. Everything is perfect. When he was drinking wine, he said, I'm not going to drink wine with you again until Mary's supper. I'm not going to drink wine with you again. He ate bread and fish with them.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Jesus rose up. He ate what? Bread and fish. John 21. Huh? Was John 21 after the resurrection? Huh? Yes, it was. He ate bread. They met him roasting fish. That Yashade fish. He ate it. Praise God. And if Jesus did not rise, he would have been in the same category with Buddha. Buddha died and died, and he still has his tomb. All the other gods and deities, they still have their grave site. People go there to pour incense. Well, Jesus is the only one whose tomb is empty. Whose tomb? And you know, many of us have not thought about how glory, when Jesus rose, do you know what happened? Do you know what happened? He did not rise alone. He did not rise alone. The Bible said they began to see new faces of the saints. Meaning that for that 40 days, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, all of them were in Israel. They were seeing Abraham. They said, this is the guinea pig of Abraham, our father. This is Abraham. They didn't know it's Abraham. You know, the Bible didn't give us account of how all of them left. But we knew that Jesus, while he was talking to them, in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, the cloud, received up in the cloud. The girls noticed that. They were seeing you. Where are you? Where did you enter our town? That's Isaac, your father. David will come and say, ah, so this is where this place looks like now, city of David. I'm not speculating. It happened. And it's going to happen again. No, it's going to happen again. Because, hey, after the great tribulation, we are coming back to this earth. The millennium reign is going to be on this earth. The marriage supper of the Lamb is for 7 years. 7 years. In the cloud. The first 3.5 years tribulation, the second 3.5 years tribulation. After that, we have the battle of Armageddon. We come with Christ. That's the second coming. We are all going to come with him in the clouds on us. And we're going to come. Abuja will still exist. Lagos will still exist. Oh, now we're now going to see the government of Christ. The way it should be. The way government should be. Not democracy now. The government of Christ. We know the beautiful thing. Now it's going to be one generation that has everyone at the same time. Kenneth Egin, or a robot, Allen, Babalola. You've heard spoken about them. Now they are your next door neighbors. Idaosa, all of them. Everybody at once. Okay. When that day come. If you are going to come back to this earth for 1,000, we're going to eat. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't know whether it's starch and banga, but I don't know. Praise God. It's so beautiful to be in Christ. So beautiful. What we are preaching is not fables, it's a reality. One day this whole world, the system will end. It is those who have received Christ that will endure forever. The system will end. So we've got to get it across. Preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it, preach it. Now look at this scripture. I want to give you this scripture, and I'd like for us to read this scripture together loud and clear. Are you still with me? Are you sure? Are you still with me? 2 Timothy 4 verse 2. 2 Timothy 4 2. 2 Timothy 4 2. Now, we're going to read this together. Amen? And I want us to read it loud and clear. Are you there? Yes, 1, 2, 3, go. Preach the word. In fact, let me read Amplified Translation. It said, arouse! herald and preach the word. Keep your sense of urgency. Stand by. Be at hand and ready. Whether the opportunity seems to be favorable or unfavorable. Whether it is convenient or inconvenient. Whether it is welcome or unwelcome. You as a preacher of the word are to show people in what way their lives are around. Convince them. Rebuking and correcting. Warning and urging and encouraging them. Being unflagging and inexhaustible. In patience and in teaching. Preach! This is not for pastors. It's for all believers. Let me show you another scripture to show you. It's for all believers. 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. We're going to read from verse 17 to 20. 2 Corinthians 5 from 17 to 20. If you're there, say amen. Now let me read from here. Now look at it. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to how many? Has given to how many? Us! The ministry of what? Reconciliation! So, the question is, are you called to ministry? Yes, we all are called to ministry. What's the ministry? Reconciliation. So there's no such thing as I'm not called. You are called. If you have not heard it before, this is an open invitation. You are called. And say, only apostles are called. Say, I can't do it. You have been called. And it means if you are called, there's an expectation from God. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand? Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. There's what? An expectation. God is not a waster of graces, of resources and gifts. If he's poured grace on your life, he's expecting something in return. He's called you. Now look at it. Verse what now? 18. And all things are of God who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to Christ. We are ambassadors. Say that I'm an ambassador. I've been called. Someone is going to die and be maimed if I don't go out. I've been called. Number two step, how do I participate in this great commission? Support the gospel. Let me explain many ways to support. Support the gospel. Now, support the cause of the gospel. Gospel songs. Support them. Gospel movies. Support them. Watch. Share. Run reviews. Do you get what I'm saying? Watch. Share. Because many gospel platforms are running out of funding. Run out of funding. So it means the blessing of God upon your life is not just for you to enjoy life. We have a major assignment. Do you get what I'm saying? You have an assignment. Now, look at the number of people getting blessed at prophetic prayer contact. Do you know how much it takes to put that together? It costs. It is. First is that some people's life is dedicated to that. The media works. Everything. Editing, re-editing, setting up. Life dedicated to that. You see, the gospel is free, but the propagation is not cheap. Say it again, the gospel is free. but it's spreading. It's not free. Except you want us to do something that will hold apologies to techno, a techno phone by the wall side, and say, so everybody now, you're going to say after me, in the name of Jesus, and network is waving, fan is blowing, and say, we can't hear you, sir. If it is not excellent, you are the same people that will not follow. Say, it's not excellent. As if it's a crime. I like that prayer, but they are not excellent. How much have you given to it? Now, many people believe that once they have given tithe and offering, they are done with God. That's a wrong spirit. Have I given offering? What are they expecting from me again? That's a wrong spirit. It's a wrong way to live and think. We have a duty. Say it again, we have a duty to give, to partner with the gospel. We have a duty. Please pray that your eyes will be open. Please pray, 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 pray. Please pray that God will put the love for the gospel in your heart. Please pray. Please pray. Many people truly don't love Jesus. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate. It is unfortunate, but please pray. Put the love of Jesus in my heart. Put the love of Jesus in my heart. Jesus, help me. Please pray. They've been saying these things. I don't seem to understand. I don't seem to be getting it. I want to get 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 it. In Jesus' name we pray. Do you know that even the issue of tithe and offering to support the cause of the gospel, many believers still struggle with it. Struggle with it. Say, I can't give a tithe of 100,000. How will I give a tithe of 100,000? Am I the only one? But those who are going to club can spend 5 million in one night to dance and drink different things that will pickle their livers. But we as believers struggle. We've not seen any matter of urgency to these things. I'm telling you, we can show you how many people struggle to propagate this gospel. Many people. And people are pushing the narratives that pastors are billionaires. They are billions. Now, don't mind them. They lie. It's a lie of the devil. Just in a way to make sure. Why do you think it's only giving in the kingdom that has been attacked? Who has ever attacked giving in mosque? Then show me the preachers that taught those Muslim guys to penetrate every system, put their people there, and make sure they are the ones that are there. If we teach you in church, another preacher will go and teach you outside, that's not our duty. Just have Jesus and go to heaven. Are you seeing how we are doing ourselves? I remembered 2020 when they were bringing, is it Ruga law now? Was it Ruga? Yeah, that 2020 they wanted to push many dangerous narratives on us. Very dangerous people. Dangerous things. They wanted to push many things. They were going to forcefully retire all general overseers, fathers, with one policy. And they revolted and said no. But I saw pastors saying let them do it. When we get to heaven, some people will weep. Because you hate Bishop Oyedepo. You don't understand the implication of a legislation to the entire body. Only the one who didn't labor over the child can say, King, kill the child. I don't want to go into matters. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who taught support those Muslims. The highest funded organization right now is Islamic organization. Well funded. You know why? From their credo, they've taught them sacrifice. I lived in the north. I've lived in the north all my life, except a few years I spent in the west. You see them. 20 people can come around one tree and eat together and share, and what the Bible described that happened once with the early church happens daily with them. No one have any thought of what they have. They live together as brethren. But Christians, you go and put food together with four Christians, they eat. The first question, who took meat? It's not his brother's keeper. He has to watch his brother, pam. You get what I'm saying? Yeah. We have raised greedy people. Greedy. Very greedy, arrogant, bloated, self-exalted. They say the things they don't know with arrogance. I watch people with amazement. Say things they know nothing about. Confidently. If you don't know sacrifice, you don't know many things. You don't know many things. Do you get what I'm saying? I'm just talking. One Muslim man can own 20 duplex in this street. And you still see him go to mosque, wash his hand with his fellow brethren, and sit down with them. When it's time for food, they will all eat together. But Christian, you eat 5 million like this. Having given a tithe of 500,000. Don't I deserve to be a minister or a deacon? Does it not look like we are buying ordination like we are buying certificates? Let me tell you something. Some people are intentionally buying ordinations. I'm not saying they are buying. They went through those schools because they will know it will have a political statement. Should we send them away? We have to still train them. But that spirit they came with must die in the process. Do you get what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm telling you. I was talking with a friend of mine. So we are going to inspect, by the grace of God, a property. Say, FCDA, because they are stopping. Once they see his church, they will stop the project. And I asked, are there no Christians there? There are Christians there. They entered, gave testimony in church that did not disciple them. They entered before they were trained. What we are saying, that why believers not get to the system, is not for lack of believers, it's for lack of discipled believers. Discipled believers. Everybody just want to get ahead of the other person. Just want to be ahead and have testimony that I'm making more money than you. It is now so bad that if you say, let's give to us a project and give account number, you have to say, please write out the amount, because you will know you'll be seeing 500 naira, 200 naira. God have mercy. Our understanding has not opened towards seeing the kingdom as our responsibility. Many people get blessed from different ministries, and not a day in their life has something flown from their pocket there. That let me now enter covenant partnership. I love what I'm saying. Some people are giving towards it. Even if I'm busy, I'm not able to do this. Let me give. Support the gospel. Somebody is singing. Support them. They are acting dramas. Support them. They are doing this. Support them. When we finished our structure, anybody, I went to go and call the drama minister. I told them, I said, see, anytime, any day, you don't have to look for venue. Come and use this place. To my house, my bedroom, my parlor is your location. Do you get what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? He knows why. There's nothing God has given to me that is not for, even my wife. I told them, if you need her to come and act, she's going. You want to use a baby for your movie? She's there. But just that this baby will trouble you some more. Do you get what I'm saying? Maybe the only thing I can't give is to say my wife permanently, huh? No. That one will fight. Praise God. But that's on a lighter note. Hallelujah. We have a core responsibility. We have an assignment. To partner, to sponsor, to push, to proclaim, to preach. It is your, see, let me say this to you. If you give offering, you give tithe, you partner with any ministry, believe it, you are not doing the ministry a favor. You are not doing the ministry a favor. You are doing yourself a favor. Because there's reward. Even on earth, there's reward. Praise God. I said, praise God. I said, praise God. Once again, lift your hands and say, Father, fill me with compassion for lost souls. Compassion. We must be tired of being passive about this thing and fit it to our life. Fit it to our lives. This is our reality. Fit it to our lives. Fit it to our lives. Many people claim to be in ministry, but are not doing ministry. Because they are not doing the primary thing. They are not turning men to Christ. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray. In Jesus' name we're praying. Now, do you think you will be a part of the gospel that has made somebody saved, healed their bodies, restored them, and your life will be dry? Many people are dry because they are not flowing out. They are not. They have no revelation. They have no revelation. Many Christians are stingy. Very stingy. And arrogantly complaining. Arrogantly. Most of those who complain in churches that we are giving this, we are giving that, they are the lowest givers. Highest givers. They know their reason. Somebody will write on Twitter, I'm going to collect my tithe and offering back. How much? Do you understand what I'm saying? It is our duty to preach, to embody it, to push it, to give towards it. If I tell you the things we do in Spirit of Light Church, some people just don't understand some of the things we do. You know the amount of team behind many of these productions, from productions, whose work and duty is to sit with it. Sit with my teachings, listen to it. Some will listen to it, then they convert them to books. We are stacking things up. Preparing. Many pastors teach about giving and it's just so that people can bring more money. They themselves are not doing it. No. I lead. I tell you, do it. I do it. By example. Because I understand the power. Are you following what I'm saying? Say loud and clear. My life is about the gospel. Say it again, my life is about the gospel. Say it again, my life is about the gospel. Lift up your hands and ask God to fill you with passion for souls. Set me on fire, Lord. Teach me the pathway of the Spirit. Anoint me with your oil. Fill me till I want no more. Oh, set me on fire, Lord. Teach me the pathway of the Spirit. Anoint me with your oil. Fill me till I want no more. Set me on fire, Lord. Teach me the pathway of the Spirit. Anoint me with your oil. Fill me till I want no more.
Ask God, anoint me.
Set me off, I am not.
Anoint me, anoint me, anoint me, anoint
me. Teach me the pathway.
I need resources to be a part of the movers of the gospel.
Anoint me with joy. Fill me till I want more.
Please pray. Please pray.
Set us on fire, Lord.
Please pray.
Teach us the pathway of the Spirit.
Please pray.
Anoint us with your oil. Feel us till we want more.
Please pray.
Set me on fire. Teach me the pathway of the Spirit.
In Jesus' name we are praying. This hatred for ministers of the gospel and a sponsor from the pit of hell, heralded by believers. Just hatred, lies, propaganda being peddled by forces of darkness. I can tell you there are many ministries that have greater dreams and powerful things they want to do. It can't be done without resources. Can't be done without resources. Can't be done without resources. Say Abuja is a strange land. Abuja is this. Push the gospel. The whole system will break. Nothing is more powerful than the power of the gospel. This, and I'm telling you, you watch the system of those nonsense there. It will break. Watch what I'm telling you. Watch what I'm telling you. The systems, it is going to break. All of them, everywhere. That's why I'm telling you, get set, because God is going to be using you to replace many of them. Get set. Be strategically positioned. Bread is coming to this land. Get set. Get set. I know what I'm saying. Get set. Get set. Get set. This system will be flushed. You see, you are watching some dramas unfold. Nigeria as a nation will be washed. I know where many things are going. It may stress all of us, but it is expedient. A cup is getting full and it's about to because God is going to upturn things for the church. I'm surprised believers are saying it doesn't matter, let's just leave it the way it is. It's time for the church to wake up. We have raised a greedy church. People who know nothing about systems, who know nothing about kingdoms and invasion. It's time for us to wake up from our slumber. It's time for us to wake up and catch this burden so that this generation will not just be hopeful and die and pass away like that. Get up on your feet and pray. Oh Lord, help me. Through me, do something. Through me, do something, Lord. Through me, do something.
Set me on fire, Lord. Teach me the pathway of the Spirit. Anoint me with your
Do something to me, Lord.
Fill me till I want no more. Fill me till I want no more. Fill me till I want no more.
In Jesus' name we pray. Let me tell you something. I've just mastered the culture of rugged faith. Moving regardless. I don't wait for people. Don't get faith. Because if you wait, we'll never get anything done. Do you know what I'm saying? The mandate on this church, it cannot be exercised where we are. You don't know. We need space. This is a place where nations come to learn. We need things done better and excellently. I don't wait. When I move, you follow me. I don't wait and say, is I going to get it done? After we have used 2 years, then by then we'll now start. No. We move tomorrow. Clear those things there. Set up structure. Say, where is the money coming from? Ah. Nobody moves and resources will not follow. We started the project in Ibadan with 200,000 in our account. And by the end of the year, we have spent over 100 million. Where is it coming from? Move. Things move. That's it. It's simple. I'm not going to... Can you follow what I'm saying?
I'm not going to come back with you report and say, ah, the land of Abuja is so tough, is untillable. Where are the people? People are just looking. Give me this city. Give me. Not for boasting, sir. Not for boasting. Give me this city. I'm going to give you one prayer point. Lord, use me. If there's nobody in your heart, no problem. But if there is, pray, God, use me. Use me. Use me, Lord. Use me. Use me. Use me. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Father, I ask upon the burdens of your children, your anointing will sit. Resources will flow. The burden will not die. In the name of Jesus. I ask that everyone under the sound of my voice receive the burden for active soul winning. Active soul winning. Systemic invasions. In the name of Jesus. There is help for everyone. It is done. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's give the Lord a big, big hand. Come on, do so better. Is that the best you can do?
The message you just listened to is sponsored by the friends and partners of Femi Lazarus Apostolic Ministries Ecumenical, Flame. To partner with Flame, kindly make use of these account details. 2215005289 UBA